Welcome to episode 134 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. A couple of weeks ago, in episode 132, I told you about a quick little photo shoot I undertook locally for a long-standing corporate client. Well, shortly after that occasion, I was asked to pay another visit in order to capture more images. Whereas the first of these shoots was based solely around informal portraits, on that occasion the subjects were not posed but captured as they went about their business in a meeting, the second shoot also involved the need to set up a little studio area too. So, in this week's show, I'm talking you through the considerations I faced when creating a set of formal headshots. Welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 134! It's just after 4 o'clock in the afternoon and I'm sat in my car. Now, often when I've just completed a shoot, where possible, I will record my thoughts as I'm driving along, heading back to base after that shoot. But today I thought I would record my thoughts just before I set off. No real reason for this, apart from, I suppose, the weather is rubbish this afternoon and I just, you know, it's nothing dramatic, but I just would rather just concentrate on the roads and rather than sort of trying to, you know, get my thoughts together as I'm driving. You may be able to hear the rain and the wind. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to come across. But yeah, it was a lovely morning. Blue sky, puffy white cloud, beautiful sunshine. And as forecast, the temperature's dropped to about 16 degrees, the wind has got up, the rain has set in, it's just grey clouds everywhere. Now, this weather, this weather hasn't affected the shoot in any way. I got a bit damp as I was loading the car back up with all my kit in the last few minutes, but the shoot itself was indoors, so I thought I'd just talk a bit about that. So, it was a 3-hour shoot for one of my corporate clients, held locally. This one's at Chichester, which, for those of you who don't know, Chichester is right down south in the UK here. It's probably, I mean, it's very close to the water. Portsmouth is only about 20-25 minutes away. Chichester is a lovely city if ever you get the chance to visit. Anyway. So I didn't have far to travel today, and what was required was actually two things. One, there was a meeting going on, so it was the usual kind of unposed, just natural shots of the members of the committee, what have you, having their meeting. They were sat around two tables, and there's a bit of role-playing going on. There was feedback and questions and answers and what have you. But what I also had to do was to do some more formal portraits, just head and shoulders. Now, that was the first thing that I did. So what I'll do is I'll just talk through the process. So I turned up as agreed, and I parked up the car right near one of the sort of like fire exits, the double doors that lead into the room that we shot in before. So I thought, well, yeah, it's not far to carry my kit. So I went in the main entrance of the hotel. Excuse me, bit of a dry throat this afternoon. Went in there, straight through, didn't bother to check at reception, went through, opened the door, and of course, there's a room full of people, none of which I recognised, none of which who recognised me. Didn't say anything, but I knew immediately that at the last minute there had been a change of room, which is not ideal because the kit I brought and my expectations and looking at the brief for today was very well informed on the fact that I knew the room. I've been there a number of times, I know the lighting, I know what to expect, and therefore, as I say, what kit to bring. So I went back to the reception and I said, you know, I'm looking for these people. And they said, oh yeah, down the corridor, turn left, turn right, through there, what have you. And I went in there, and it was a really, from having been a nice sort of the previous room was actually probably about eight times or more bigger and lighter, a lot lighter, with windows all down the sides, than the room that we had, which was a pokey little thing by comparison, with very little space. So I met up with the client, and everyone was there, sort of starting to mingle and what have you. And I said, okay, so we're in a different room. This is news to me. And she said, well, yeah, I had assumed as well we're in the same room, so obviously they hadn't double checked, and no one, you know, I wasn't to know. So I said, okay, well look, we need to do excuse me, we need to do these head and shoulders shots. And my setup for this was to have like a mottled grey backdrop. Now I really don't, it's not that I don't like backdrops, they're fine, they have their place, but I generally don't use them. The portraits I do tend to be natural, unposed. When they are posed, they tend to be sort of a white backdrop, maybe. But because of the client and the sort of feel that we needed to get, and having worked a lot with them over the years, I knew this was the right approach. I went with the mottled grey. It was a Lastalite backdrop. I don't know how big it is. Oh, I forget now. It's, oh crikey, it must be wide. It must be about 9 foot. Some of you probably know exactly how big Lastalite's backdrops tend to be, but I guess it was about 9 by 16 or something like that, feet long. So lots of material. The ceiling was probably about 9 foot or so. So I had that with a couple of a backdrop kit that I have, which is quite old and it needs replacing. And but as I say, I've never got around to replacing it, or rather never bothered, because I don't use it a lot. So I dug this out, and in the case I've got two stands, a crossbar that actually threads through a loop of the material on the backdrop. And so I hoisted that up, so it's up at about, I don't know, 9 foot or what have you. But because this the crossbar is a little bit, it's been repaired a number of times, it's not, it's a two-part crossbar, a lot of you might be familiar with. So somewhere in the middle you join it, and there's usually a little sort of like a retractable peg. Well, that's long since kind of fallen out, and I've kind of Heath Robinson it sort of to make it kind of hold together. But as a result, what I did, I also packed a third stand, which was just behind the backdrop. Now, I could have just extended that, and with a super clamp attached, could have rested the backdrop, the crossbar on there. But because it's a little bit I wasn't confident that it was going to hold itself. What I did was I had this additional stand. It was an Elenchrom stand, and that extends itself to about 9 or 10 feet, I think. And that was just extended fully, and clamped onto that was a magic arm, a Manfrotto magic arm, which is really, I'll link to this of course in the show notes, really useful bit of kit, with a super clamp on one end, which clamped onto that upright stand, and the other one was angled up. This is all behind the backdrop, so that it grabbed from above the crossbar, clamped that on, so it held it near enough straight. It didn't matter that it wasn't absolutely straight, because that area, of course, of the backdrop wasn't in the pictures. So that was the backdrop. Now, to get the best results with that mottled grey backdrop, what I like to do is to have people a good, I don't know, maybe 10 feet away from that, shooting at something like f5.6 or thereabouts, or f8 maybe, and you get a nice blurring, and so that mottled effect is actually quite tasteful and quite nice. But because we had such a small room, and there were a couple of tables, or three tables actually, set up, I didn't have infinite space for this. So what I had to do was just go with it. So that was in place, and I set up two lights, mains-powered studio flashes. These are some Bowens lights, which, again, I don't tend to use a lot. And I'm, as I record this, I'm actually in the process of thinking about selling them. And I've spoken about this on another recording I made recently, which I'll be sharing with you. Again, it may may be one of those which has already been and gone by the time you hear this. Lovely lights, they work fine, they've done me well, but they're just not perfectly suited to the work that I tend to do more of now. So I had two lights, and I had to just improvise, because I had planned to do lighting in a number of ways. And this was all based on knowing the room that I thought I was going to be, or had been told I was going to be working in. And what I thought I was going to do was have a single light in a softbox at sort of three quarters, or just more of an acute angle actually than three quarters, pointed at the subject to light them with a very soft shadow to one side. and then the second in light with a slightly smaller softbox was going to either be an uplighter from on the ground or on a stand very low to the ground to create a kind of a graded, the light faded from lighter to darker, which would have been quite nice. But there just wasn't really the space to do that, because you would have had the fall off of the light, where it would have been too close to the subject. It would have probably not worked. So what I did is just had a light on the subject and a light on a smaller softbox, one of which, the one at the back was, I think it's about 1.5 meters. And then the one on the subject was about, no, sorry, the smaller one was a meter and the other one was about 1.5 or 2 meters. So a nice big soft light source. So one pointed at the backdrop, one on the subject. I did a couple of tests and it told me that absolutely everything was okay. And then, of course, the first one or two people act as sort of guinea pigs, because I couldn't do the sort of ideal tests that I wanted to. And everyone else was out of the room having a lunch break at that point. So the first person came in, I did a couple of tests and it was fine. And just had them standing there, three quarters. It was just really quite quick. They were stood at three quarters with their hands in front of them. Just keeps their shoulders square, and it was fine. Watching the reflections in their glasses, if they had glasses. And then soon, I then changed the setup. The lighting was the same. Oh, and also had a white reflector to throw a bit of light into the shadow area. So actually, on their faces and what have you, it wasn't a lot of shadow. But I then changed it so that I put a chair there for people to sit down. Because, and this came about because I think it was the second or third sitter was actually taller than me, and for me to actually get them the head and shoulders shots, it would have, because of the proximity with the backdrop and this, that and the other, and obviously I didn't want them standing right against the backdrop because of shadows, I got them to sit down because the crossbar was starting to show, and that obviously was no good. So we had about 12 people, something like that, and it worked very well, and it was done pretty quickly. Time was of the essence, because they were keeping to a schedule, and that was fine. So I did that, and I partially broke down the kit, the lights mainly, oh, and the backdrop, dropped that to the floor, because the next set of shots were those where people were sat around the table talking and it was all unposed. And of course I didn't want the no matter how out of focus, I didn't want the soft boxes or the backdrop or what have you showing in the pictures in the background. The other reason, of course, is the weather was starting to close in and it's starting to get darker with the cloud. I needed as much light, because I didn't light these natural pictures with flash or anything, because the shots they've had before were naturally lit, and I wanted to match them to that, so it all tied in. And the two windows and a double door with windows that were at the end of this room, I needed to let the light in, so I dropped the backdrop down, and excuse me, and that was that. That was brilliant. It worked okay. I mean, the posed head and shoulders were what you'd expect. They're functional. They were nice and clean. People were smiling and what have you. Now, you would probably you would expect a lot of photographers to say, "Oh, they're lovely, they're fantastic," you know, and the quality of the light and blah blah blah. I can't get enthusiastic about such posed, orchestrated pictures against a mottled grey background. It's not the sort of thing that I feel comfortable doing it, but it just seems, yeah, some companies like that, and that's what they're after, and I'm happy to do it, especially with clients like these who are long-standing. But it's just, you know, you could do so much more, even in a space like that, even if it was a white backdrop. But I gave them the option, and that's what they went for. So, you know, we previewed the pictures just on the back of the camera. The lady that I was dealing with, she's more than happy with them. And the other thing I've got to do, with this backdrop, it's a cloth backdrop, and because I don't use it a lot, I just fold it up and I keep it in, you know, those sort of storage bags that you can put under your bed, that sort of thing, with a, just like, they're completely clear, and they just have a single zip which zips up. That's what I keep this backdrop in, and because I don't use it a lot, it stays in there. And there are a few creases, nothing too dramatic, but because I usually set my subjects far enough away and with a particular aperture, you don't see those creases. So what I've got to do in post-production, just on these few pictures, is just, there are a couple of creases here and there which I wasn't really bothered about. I knew they were there, it wasn't an oversight, because it mottled, there's no definite pattern, I can just clone them out and they'll be absolutely fine. They're functional, they're nice pictures, I just can't get really enthusiastic about them. And there's also nothing, because of the nature of them, there's nothing within those pictures to say, I know, this is Bob Smith and he does this and what have you. Now, if I was photographing an adventurer, someone who's, I don't know, maybe kayaked across the Atlantic or whatever it might be, you'd have something that's context building. You'd have props, or you'd have his kayak, or he'd be there in his, you know, wet weather gear, or whatever it might be, you know, his stuff he wears in the kayak. But there's nothing of this. They're just functional pictures to go in reports and websites and what have you. So that was that. So that took up, by the time I'd set up, talked to people, broke down things a little bit, that took about an hour. And the original shoot was going to be actually a 2-hour shoot to include that as well, but then the lady I was dealing with got back to me yesterday. Actually, I phoned her up yesterday, just a courtesy call to say, is everything still okay for tomorrow? Is there anything changed that I should know about? And I was told that, you know, essentially there wasn't, apart from, could I come along for an extra hour because their schedule on the day was quite tight and we wouldn't get the photography in. And, you know, so that's what we did. So I've had a 3-hour shoot rather than a 2. So the natural shots, oh, I should probably explain, because I know you like to know these things. The posed shots were shot on a Nikon D3 with a 24-70 mil lens at F8 or F6.3, so plenty of sharpness. You focus on the eyes, and the shoulders are nice and sharp and what have you. ISO 400 on that occasion. And then I switched, I kept the D3, but I switched to an 80-200 2.8 and whacked the ISO right up to 6400 because I was working with natural light. Now, yes, you do get noise, digital noise and graininess when the light is not brilliant. If it's lovely bright light, you barely notice it on the D3. And of course, a lot of you will know that I've talked about this a lot over the all the time that I've had the D3. So some of these pictures, because it was quite a dark room, the light dropped off because it was such a small room, and you've got the kind of the standard recessed halogen lights in the ceiling. Wasn't brilliant lighting, but I didn't want to set up additional lighting because I needed to match it to the previous ones and what have you that I'd shot some weeks ago. So 6,400 was fine for probably 95-98% of the shots. There will be a handful of them which I might, not definitely, but I might work a bit of noise reduction in Photoshop afterwards, or Camera Raw when I prepare the images, just because they were a little bit grainy. But nothing too much. I mean, it's one of those things, you know, we look at the pictures and we're very critical, us photographers, and there's actually a really nice quality to that graininess with these sort of unposed boardroom meeting shots. And so I may well just leave them. And in fact, I did a shoot a week or two back, and I had this conversation, this with a different client, a conversation with him, and he was saying, oh, do you know, I really like that. I don't think it's a problem. I think you're being too picky on it and stuff, certainly when it goes on the web, or it's only going to be, you know, sort of 5 or 6 inches by, what are we looking at? 1, 2, sort of maybe about 2.5 inches tall on a report or something. No one's going to notice the grain. It's only when you start looking at sort of 100% or bigger on the computer that you really start to become very, very much more aware of it. So I may or may not end up tidying those pictures up for the grain, who knows. But that was it. That was really it. It was a really, once we got going after the initial rethink about, you know, where to site the backdrop and what have you, it was pretty simple, really. I don't know how many shots I've taken in total, including the posed ones. I've probably shot, probably about 350 pictures. They won't get all those pictures because, again, you get duplicates, you get ones where people maybe have blinked, or someone, a prime example, I was lining up a shot at one point, and just as I pressed the shutter release, someone lifted up their coffee cup right in front of the person's face that I was photographing. So you always build in that buffer, and as I've said before, typically you will edit out somewhere between 1 and 2/3 of the pictures, depending on how much is needed. With the portraits, I took between 5 and 10 roughly pictures of each person, and so I will probably supply 2 pictures of each person, because that way there is such a thing as having too much choice for people. You know, if you, they'll send the images through and they'll say, oh, that's lovely, and if they've got sort of 12 pictures, 15 pictures of each person, you think, oh, you know, which one do I go with? And it makes their job easier if they don't have to worry and mess around like that. So, you know, a good selection of pictures today. Not the most exciting shoot. I enjoyed it. I like working with this client. The person that I work with on the day is very friendly, and she just lets me get on with it because she knows what I can do, and she knows that I know what they are after. And that was it. That was basically the shoot. So what else can I tell you? The rest of my day... I don't know what the time is now, but it's getting on a bit. I guess, what is it, probably coming up to not far off 4:30 now. I'm going to go back to base, back to the office. I will back the pictures up. I will probably not make a start on editing these today. Often I will, but because of the time now and stuff that I have to do and stuff I have to get ready for the next 2 days... I don't think I'm going to be editing these. I did explain to them, where are we now? This is a Friday as I record this. And I have said to them, look, you'll get these pictures the beginning part of the week, maybe the middle of the week. And, you know, they said, oh, it's absolutely fine. You know, whenever, that's not a problem. They know that they usually, I'll either edit and send out the pictures on the same day or the next working day. So on the basis that I'm not editing them today, I have commitments over the weekend. I'm up in London. And you'll hear all about that in due course, because I'm going to be recording some audio when I'm away doing that. It's going to be Monday that I edit the pictures, and they'll probably get sent out in Monday's post, so that they will arrive on Tuesday. Oh, and I should explain, this client always likes to have a DVD of pictures. Sometimes I'll supply even to them. I'll supply through the back end of the website. They can just download them. But that's the plan. So by the middle of next week, they will get the pictures. As for the rest of today, one thing I am planning to do is put together next week's podcast. So, like I say, it's a Friday today. I have commitments all over the weekend, so I won't get a chance to do it then. So I'll put the podcast together, and then that will be scheduled, ready to go live. Very first thing, or a minute past midnight UK time on Monday morning. And that'll be that. So a bit of organisation, a bit of pre-planning or what have you. And that's that. But there's nothing really more to add about today's shoot. The one thing I will say is I wasn't offered a cup of tea. There were tea facilities and pastries and things. And I did have a sneaky pastry and a couple of glasses of water. But I am very much looking forward to having a cup of tea, and a lot of you, if you know me or you listen regularly, you do know that I do like a nice cup of tea, especially when I've just had a shoot or I'm back to the office and I need to just gather my thoughts after a shoot or what have you. So that is it. That is today's shoot. And as I sit here, this weather is just getting, I'm not sure that it's getting worse, but it's just not getting any more inspiring. So I'm just going to prepare for the weekend, prepare the podcast for the beginning of next week, and leave it at that, I guess. I'm really trying to think of anything else, any technical stuff that you might be interested in. You can always ask me questions about the kit that I use and what have you. There are other considerations which maybe I'll keep for a separate podcast, all about sort of health and safety and what you do with cables and instructing people where to stand and this, that and the other. I did take a couple of snaps actually on my phone of the kits that I was using and the setup. I haven't decided yet. It may be the picture on the show notes for this recording, but it may just be a picture on Facebook. I haven't decided yet. But either way, do check out the Facebook page, because that's where I often share a lot of these behind-the-scenes pictures if they don't appear on the main website, The Active Photographer. So, there we go. A quick roundup. I hope that's been of use to you. Any questions, do let me know. But for now, I will leave it there. Don't forget to check out the picture which accompanies this episode to get a better idea of the location I was working in on the day in question. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or, of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.
Member of the CurrentPhotographer.com podcast network. find more great photography shows at currentphotographer.com/podcast.
Currentphotographer.com.